You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast, recorded live at our Manchester campus. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.
Awesome. Well, whether you're here in Central or North or South or Chester or Sheffield or Cardiff or Geneva, come on, if you're here Central, give them a great hand. In all those places, give them a great hand. You're watching online with us today, great to have you with us. Why don't you grab your seats? Today I want to speak to you on a topic that I believe can help you to become who you're purposed to be. I don't know how often you travel in highways. I've travelled on them, and there's a big difference in your country between travelling on an old lane or back track as opposed to one of the highways. Now, sometimes, between here and Birmingham particularly, I like to call that a car park, not a highway. But when they're flowing correctly, they actually are incredible. The design is that you get on at an entry point and you get off at the exit, and you've actually been expedient in the time that it's taken to get where you need to go. But the truth is, if you get off at the wrong point or you miss your turn off, who knows, it can take 10 times as long to get where you're going. Today I want to talk to you about how do we position ourselves to be on the highway of abundance. How do we position ourselves to be on the highway of abundance? It's simply obedience. Turn to the person next to you and say, obedience. And if you've got a Bible, why don't you turn to Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1. There's an interesting story in the Bible that talks about the children of Israel, and they were wandering in the desert before going to the promised land, and the truth is that it took them 40 years to do so. But actually, the reality is, if they'd actually done what the Lord had told them to do and they went on the most direct path, it would have only taken 4.5 days. How many of us are wandering, trying to do things, but not stepping into the full purpose that God has for us? With that thought in mind, Genesis 22 and verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am." He replied, "Then God said, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood, I was just testing you were still with me. For the burnt offering, he set up for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servant, "Stay here with the donkeys while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Here's this amazing story where he has such an intimate relationship with the Lord that the Lord says to Abraham, "Here I am." And he's standing in front of him, and he then says, "I want you to go and sacrifice your son." Now, in that time, for some religions, it wasn't actually unusual to sacrifice your children. So that wouldn't have been a total shock to him in the context of something outside of the God that we know. But here he is, who has for many years, nearly a man of 100 before he could have his first child. His first child is Isaac. He's somewhere between the age of 9 to 15 years of age. And God says to him, "Take him and sacrifice your one and only son." Who knows, your first response, even when it's God who makes it clear he's standing in front of you, would not necessarily be, "Yes, I'm going to go and do this. This is awesome." The truth is that we as the church get some assignments that don't on the outward seem actually easy. Some of you are going through things in your own personal life right now that are challenging. But just because it's a challenge doesn't mean that we don't continue to believe that God has spoken, therefore God is going to come through in our circumstances. You see, here we recognize that he didn't in this story tell others. He didn't tell his son what was going on. He just simply responded, and he responded this way. He got up early in the morning. Anybody here morning people? Okay, that's a very small minority. That's why you're at the 10:30 service. Anybody here, night people? Pate. Well, there's not many of you either. The rest of you are saying nothing. But the truth is that you don't get up early in the morning, and it's not written in the Word, without us understanding that God's trying to exaggerate a point that Abraham, who had a lot to lose, got up with a spring in his step early in the morning because he was committed to his God. Church, I want you to understand that he didn't react to the circumstances. He responded to the call that God had placed on his life. We need to recognize that each one of us is called by God. We don't just come to church. If you've recently got saved, understand that God has a purpose that's way beyond the life that you're currently living. He's got a call, a set aside purpose for you, and he wants you to step into it. I now have the privilege of speaking in many national situations and with leaders of nations and different things. And to this day, I still don't quite understand how it's all happened. But the first mission trip I ever went on, some of your people just came back from India, I was just hearing about it. And when you first go on your first mission trip, you generally go to change the world. But what you learn after you go on your first mission trip is you change almost nothing, except God changes a lot in you. And so the truth is that I went on this first mission trip to Bangkok, and we went to this place and I was excited to go, and I was the leader of a team of about five or six of us, but there was 80 on this trip from all around Australia, and I was one of the leaders. And so we end up in this room on the first night, and the leader of the whole trip says, "Guys, we've got a problem. For some reason, they've cancelled all the night rallies and the schools, and I actually don't have anything for the team to do tomorrow, and we're here for 10 days. Now, in the moment of problem, we can go, "Woohoo, let's go shopping, change of plan." Or we can remember we are called, and therefore we've got to stay focused on why God put us there. We're there to actually impact people in the nation of Thailand. So I'm sitting there and it blurts out of my mouth before I can even think about it. And I say, "Why don't we go across the road to the university?" Across the road was the largest university in the Southern Hemisphere. It's called the Rim Kang Hing Hong Hu Ha Ha Hmm University. I don't know what it is, but it's a long name anyway. And about 700,000 students. And so I say, "Why don't we go and preach? Get some guitars and see if we can get a crowd and just preach." And the leader goes, "That's a great idea. You're preaching." And at that point, I thought, that's not such a good idea anymore, because it's the first time I'd ever preached overseas with an interpreter on the streets in Bangkok. It was like, whew, I don't know if I like this. So we're walking across, and as we're walking across, I'm praying, "Lord, don't let a crowd come today. And I don't have to preach, easy plan." But as they start playing the guitars, a crowd starts emerging. 300 people stand in front of us. We're right in the middle of the university, and there's like a big mound. And I didn't think much of it, but we're standing here, the crowd's there, the mound's here, and as they're about to get me to speak, I hear this noise. I'm like, "What is that?" And I turn around, and there's about 60 Buddhist monks walking towards us. I've got no idea if it's even legal to preach as a Christian on the streets. Now we've got 60 Buddhist monks, we've parked ourselves in front of a Buddhist shrine. So they're coming to put the incense sticks down while I'm preaching. Oh, it's getting better by the moment. And so I start to preach, thinking, what's going to happen? Interpreter, I've got no idea if he's even saying what I'm saying. And then people at the end of my message respond. About 15 people gave their hearts to the Lord on the street. Wow. But the good news is that at the end of the meeting, they said to us, "That was so good. Tomorrow you got all these schools." And over the next 9 days, went into schools and saw people saved, people get set free. But it was because I understood that I am called. And therefore, if I'm called, God's got a plan that's beyond my circumstance. And somebody might say cancelled, but I say to you, we are called by God. Therefore, we can't live in a culture that says cancel, because God has a greater plan for us. God wants to do something through our lives. I didn't even mean what I said there, but that is a very strong prophetic statement. I was just using the word cancel. I know it's a controversial word now. But you see, this story here is an invitation. This story is not a demand. We don't have a God who's asking us to do something that's tough. He gives us an opportunity. But many of us, when we feel called, at the starting point respond. Then circumstances kick in and we start to react and we get all upset about everything. We're forgetting that, hey, we're called by God. Therefore, he's got a purpose that's beyond what we're going through right now. It's not a demand. It's an invitation that God is giving us. And in verse 6, Abraham took the word for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried away the fire and the knife as the two of them went on together. Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Yes, my son." Abraham replied, "The fire and the wood are here." Isaac said, "But where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Just a little boy thinking, well, how are we going to do this sacrifice? Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb." Can you see that he's still believing in the midst of the circumstances? "God will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and he lay him on the altar. He's going to go through with this on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. For those that have been in church long enough, maybe in Sheffield you've been in church long enough, or Cardiff, yeah, we used to have pictures in our children's church of Abraham with a knife about to kill his son at children's church. Can you imagine the political correctness or lack of in this day and age? But the reality is it's making the statement that even though you're ready to go through with this, God has another plan. All he asks of you is obedience. All he asks of you is to stay true to the call and he's going to come through for you. When I was a kid, I grew up in church and we used to have movie nights at church. Tonight I'm speaking on hunger and I'd love you to come to the 5 o'clock if you're in one of the campuses. But we used to have these movie nights and they were reel-to-reel movies. And we had this old guy that didn't know how to use the projector, but he was the guy in charge, and he was like a control freak of the projector. And we'd have forced, breaks between the two reels because he was fixing up the new reels. But there was one particular movie called Thief in the Night. Whoo, anybody here remember that? Wow, quite a lot. And there was a song in it by Larry Norman. "Don't you get left behind, don't get left behind." I'd wake up for months after that as a little kid, like, "Mom, are you there, Mom?" And there'd be no response. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. Of course there's no response. But I was thinking, she's gone, she's been raptured, it's all over. All I can think about is the guillotine at the end, these people in white coats and guillotines. Ah, how did they let six-year-olds watch that stuff? But the point is, he was willing to do what he'd been asked to do. Sometimes for us, we don't do what we're asked to do because circumstances check us out of the situation. Who said that the Bible, throughout the Bible, that it was easy? The Bible actually says, consider it pure joy when you go through trials of many, or in some versions, every kind. Oh, you came to church this morning rejoicing. You came to church saying yes, even though you just got that bill, even though you don't know how you're going to get through. It's not necessarily the case, but I want you to understand that we are not serving a God of the feel-good gospel. We are serving a God who of a people who say we're called by God. We believe that our God is going to come through for him. And we've got to learn this little word in our daily life called trust. Do you trust him? He's a faithful God. He's going to come through. Abraham trusted him. Since when was responding to the call comfortable? Since when was responding to the call my rights, what I want? It's a call and he's not forcing you. It's an invitation. Who's going to take up the invitation? But we don't just trust in anything. We trust in the character of our God. He comes through again and again and again. The sand on the seashore is what he said to Abraham. You'll have generations as numerous as the stars in the sky. But so Abraham didn't live according to his circumstance. I'm going to kill my son. He lived according to a faithful God. And if I'm obedient, it opens a gateway. I get on the highway and I trust him. And whatever my circumstances may say, I know I'm on the best path for what he has purposed for me. Abundance is my portion. Trust is a small word, but a key to us heading for the purpose of God. Some will put their trust in horses and chariots, but we remember the name of the Lord our God. Manchester South, we remember the name of the Lord our God. He's going to come through for us. He's a faithful God. We trust him with the call that he's given each one of us, and we step into his purpose and promise for us. Leonie and I lived in Perth in Western Australia for many years. In fact, till we were in our late 30s, we felt a call to leave our church, which was almost traumatic in itself, to go and work for Planet Shakers as like the associates with Pastor Russell and Sam. And that was big in itself, but to actually take our kids, who at the time were something like 11, 12, and you know, 8 or 9, and we're taking them, it was a big shift. They'd been in the same school their whole lives, and that was more of a concern to me. When I dropped my daughter at school on the first day of her new school, she had tears in her eyes, and I said, I'll come in and I'll help you. She said, no, Dad, don't be stupid. But I could see she was struggling with the decision. And in that moment, I was questioning the call. In that moment, I was saying, God, what's going to happen here? But I kept going because I know I can trust in the character of my God. Today, she's 27 years of age. She works in our global department. We now have curriculums all across Papua New Guinea and across Fiji, and now in places in Africa, they're asking us a leadership values-based curriculum. It's exploding all over the world. She's at the forefront of that. I could have reacted to what was happening to her in that car that day and said, come on, let's go back to Perth. But the call doesn't come cheaply. Trusting God isn't always as romantic as it sounds. But you've got to push through knowing that your God is a faithful God, knowing that your God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He's going to come through in your circumstances. Proverbs 21 says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose. There's a purpose that's going to come through in your situation. Right now, you might not be able to see his purpose, but I want to tell you, he is a faithful God. He is a God that comes through again and again and again. You can easily miss the entrance to the highway. But I want to tell you, it comes through obedience. Trust in the character of your God. So obedience is a response to trust. Trusting in his faithfulness, trusting in his promises, and recognizing that our God is a faithful God that will come through. You know, while sacrifices can be significant, they really are empty without genuine obedience. So often we think our sacrifices are what gets us to where God has purposed us to be, but more often than not, it's just simple obedience. Look at this in verse 11. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. He's standing with the knife in his hand about to sacrifice his son. Here I am. Wow. Wasn't that long ago that God said, here I am. And he responded to it. Now it's another moment where he's in a lot more precarious position, a lot more out of control, feels like there's all sorts of circumstances coming against him. And what does God do? Takes him back to the very same place. Here I am. I never moved. I was always here. I was standing alongside you. I was always going to come. And he says, here I am. Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Sounds like another story in the New Testament. And in verse 13, Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. Not by coincidence, not by chance. It was something God had always set up. He just had to be faithful to the call. He had to trust God. He had to be obedient. And then God provided a ram in the thicket. Our God is a symbol of hope. He sent his son Jesus Christ that whoever believes in him will not perish but will have everlasting life. We need to recognize his name is Jesus. He's the same God today as he always has been. He's going to come through in your circumstance. A symbol of hope, not just a ram in the thicket. When we put our faith in action through our obedience, we often find that God has already made a way where there appears to be no way, even though you can't see it. That child that's away from the Lord, even though you can't see it, he's made a way where there is no way. That diagnosis over your life, he's made a way where there is no way. Let's not change our circumstances on the basis of what's going on around us. Change our belief on the basis of what's going around us. We serve in the house. We give in an offering. We pray for other family members, and our own kids are not even in the house of God. We're small group leaders and I've got a business to run. It's the wrong timing for me. Sacrifice. But sometimes our sacrifice really isn't sacrifice. It feels like sacrifice. But our sacrifice is a symbol of God's faithfulness in our circumstances. I keep doing what God's told me to do. I'm staying on the highway. I'm not getting off prematurely. I'm not going to do what I feel to do. But I'm going to be who God has called me to be. Why do we serve in the house of God? Because this is the ultimate beacon of hope for those that do not yet know you. Pastor Glenn and Adam's new appointment isn't just an appointment. It's about placing churches all over the world, the most imperfect vehicle that God has placed as a symbol of hope in every situation. We need to understand that God wants us to be people that recognize that he's going to come through for you. Amen. He came through for you in your sickness a few years ago. What about that financial challenge you had? What about you in Geneva? It looked like we couldn't even continue to run the church, but look today at how God has done something. What about in Cardiff where it's been hard work, but suddenly something's starting to change? Those that have stuck with him and relied on the character of their God, trusted in the call that God has placed along their life, are about to walk into a season of abundance in Jesus' name. True abundance brings divine provision. True obedience, not abundance. True obedience brings divine provision. I can sense the Holy Spirit is here right now. Whether you're watching online, you're in North Manchester, you're in Chester, you're in Sheffield, you're in this room, Holy Spirit is here. And some of you have just got to get back to the place of simple obedience. Stand to your feet right across the room. Wherever you are, stand to your feet. I was in Fiji and it was the third night of these events in August. We'd seen many, many, many lives get saved. Tens of thousands of people coming out each night. The last night was bigger and better. It was live on TV. Incredible stuff happening. And in the natural, you'd go, wow, this is awesome. I had this best feel we've ever had. But I was on the side of stage looking out at this huge crowd and I just felt like there's something not breaking through. So I closed my eyes. I said, Lord, is there something not right? And this is what the Lord said to me. You know that guy you don't like? I mean, is this how the Lord speaks? This guy you don't like, I want you to get him up and pray for the next generation. Now, there was a guy that came on the trip with us that, to be honest, I know you don't have any of these people here in Manchester or in Geneva, or in Cardiff. You know, you don't have these people that annoy you. But I just had this guy that just, he was trying. My eyes are closed. I knew it was God. Because why else would it come up in my mind? I want you to get him up on stage and pray. I've got like 30 other pastors here, God. What are you thinking? But I know myself. I can react to how I feel, or I can respond to what God is saying, obedience. I turned to my daughter who works with me and I said, Kim, can you go up and tell this guy that he's going to be speaking, he's going to pray for the next generation on stage? It was live on TV to probably half the nation. And I was like, I don't want to give him that privilege. Kim looks at me, she knows me well, and she goes, really, him? Like, you don't even like him. I'm like, yeah, the Lord's already told me that. You don't have to tell me as well. Just tell him. If you don't tell him, I won't do it. So she goes and tells him. Literally 2 minutes later, I receive a text, and in it's a video. The video is of someone in the crowd towards the back. This man, it shows him lying on the floor. His family got him out of hospital that day, took him off life support. He's been in a coma for 3 months. And they said, there's no hope for him. The staff at the hospital said, take him off the machines. He'll die quickly. And to be honest with you, when I first saw the video come up, it looked like he was dead. Then he stands up. This is literally as they've just texted straight to me. One of our students prayed for him. He stands up in the meeting and he starts walking. But he literally looks like a zombie because he hasn't moved for months. I just heard the last weekend, what he's done for 30 years in his church. He was doing it again last weekend. He's on the keyboard leading the church in worship in Fiji. He got totally healed in that moment. Now, I'm not trying to take the credit, but a simple act. I don't want to do this. Why? Don't you know that it took me and my wife nearly till I was 100 before I could have my first child? How are the descendants going to be as numerous as the stars? You know, well, I don't like that person. Why should I get them involved? Well, I can't do small group because of my business. My kids don't even serve in the house. Why should I give money to the youth group? Or it's an invitation. Here I am, Lord. My obedience. Obedience is the gateway to abundance. I know I'm speaking to called people. I know I'm speaking to people that trust in the character of their God. I know that this church and all the things you're involved in are a symbol of hope, but maybe, just maybe, some of you have waned a little in your belief that God's going to come through in your circumstance. Maybe you're, how can he help me with my marriage? You don't understand my wife, my husband. You don't know what's going on with my kids. The global economy says things are slowing and it's terrible. Just remember, we don't live according to the global economy. We live according to his kingdom economy. Trust in the character of your God. Some will put their trust in horses, cars, houses, jobs, but we who are called, we remember the character, the name of the Lord our God. We lift Jesus up over every circumstance, the symbol of our hope. So if you've lost hope, lost confidence, lost a sense of God's going to come through, whether you're here in Sheffield, you're in Manchester South, you're in Cardiff, Manchester Central, you just want to respond, not react to your circumstances. I want you, wherever you are, to lift your hands because there's enough faith in this room. Maybe only the side of a mustard seed, but that's all we need. God to come through with those things that feel like they're lost. They're waning. They're falling away. Whew, he's here. Touch your circumstances. He can move powerfully in you. There's a gentleman at the back here, just over in the middle actually. An Asian gentleman, cream jumper on, sir. He's got his eyes closed, but he's right there. Can somebody, yeah, that's him. Can somebody, yes, sir, you. Yes, him. Yeah, you. You. I'm pointing you out and the whole crowd and the whole network. God's got a stamp on your life, sir. Particularly in the marketplace. But there's some days where you feel like you're not good enough because you're not giving up for ministry. But actually, God has placed something on you. And you're about to come into a season of abundance if you'll be obedient to God. There's something you have to sell. I don't know what it is. But if you're obedient, don't look at the negative, look at the positive and what God's going to do. If you've got kids away from the Lord, you've got a financial challenge in your life, if you've got a circumstance, wherever you are right now, keep your hands raised. Lord, I pray that obedience would be the gateway to abundance. The call is true and real. These are called people by your name. And I pray that their trust meter would increase right now. And they would remember the character of their God. Symbol of hope. His name is Jesus. Children coming back to the Lord. Businesses exploding in Jesus' name. Families coming back together, being reconciled. Relationships being released like they never have before. This Christmas wouldn't be a bad Christmas with family. It would be a great Christmas because the Lord turned it all around. God, I pray that you would move in the hearts and lives of people right across these rooms. Whether you're watching online or you're not, today I want to do one last thing. Then I'm going to hand back to the campus pastors. You're not right with Jesus. You once were, you never have been. You're unsure. Whether you're in Geneva or you're in Cardiff or you're somewhere in Manchester, you're in Chester, Sheffield, he's here and he can touch you. And he wants to do something in and through you. But it starts with the first step of obedience. Coming into relationship with Jesus Christ. So right now, while every head is bowed, eye is closed, right across all the campuses of those watching online, I want to give you the opportunity to come to know Jesus. If you're in the room, here in Manchester Central, I want to give you the opportunity so that I know that I'm praying for you, but I know I'm praying for you online, you in these other locations. But I'd love just to pray for you before I hand back to the pastors. You're not right with God. You once were, never have been, or you're just unsure, but you want to be. In this room, for you and for you and for you, you say, that's me. Lift your hand so I can see it, so I know I'm praying for each one of you. I see a hand over here, ma'am. You can put it down. Who else says that's me? Over here, there's hands all through the back there. There's quite a few hands. Over here, fantastic. Over here. So good to see you raising your hand. You can put it down again once I've seen it. Thank you, thank you. So good. For those online, I'm praying with you. The great thing is that our God is everywhere. So he's with you right where you are. That's why you can feel his presence right now. So now for every person that's lifted their hand, Lord, I want to pray for each one of them. Thank you, Lord, for each one of them. Thank you for the commitment that they've made today. We thank you, Jesus, for dying upon a cross. For that broken body, that shed blood that was a sacrifice so that each one of us could come to you, declare our sin, and today be cleaned in Jesus' name. Thank you that we can come into a relationship via Jesus to a living Father. Thank you that we can come to you today understanding from this day on we have a relationship, no longer doing life alone, but walking every step of the way with you as our lead and guide. I pray that today people would step on to the highway via their obedience to come into relationship with you. And from this moment on, there'd be abundance in every aspect of their life as they come into relationship with Jesus. Thank you for them. In Jesus' name. just before I hand over the campus, pastors, Lord, I pray that we would truly be a church that wouldn't look to our circumstances. We wouldn't react to what's going on around us, but we would respond to the character of our God. You are a faithful God. You've come through for us over and over again. And I pray in the name that is above all names, Jesus, that you would come into every person's situation and you would help them to recognize that they are called, that if they trust you, you'll continue to be a beacon of hope in every aspect of their lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Audacious Church podcast. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.